Homily for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, October 16th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. A few weeks back, we heard a gospel reading in which the apostles asked Jesus, "We want you to teach us how to pray, just as John the Baptist did for his followers." And then Jesus taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. If praying often and well was an automatic component of the human condition, the apostles would have had no reason to ask Jesus that question. It would have come naturally, like walking or breathing. But prayer is not like that. Prayer is an expression of our faith, and it requires effort. We want to show God our love for Him, but doing so becomes a battle, a struggle. Today, Jesus relates to these struggles we face in prayer, but he gives us a parable to encourage us. Something unusual, though, about this parable is that neither of these characters is flawless. We know about the judge's corruption and lack of interest in meting out justice, but the widow whose case is before the judge comes across as obnoxious. Her demeanor and pestering drives him up the wall. He takes up her case, convinced that she might lose control one day and knock his block off. These two characters reflect human nature. Each of us knows how inconsistent we can be, that we can behave admirably one day and irritatingly or irresponsibly the next. Take a close look at the widow's request. "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." To be certain, she wanted a result in her favor, but what she wanted most is that justice be done. The widow never asked to manipulate the process so that she would get her way. Her persistence was not selfish, and maybe that objectivity helped to propel the judge in the right direction. Time and time again in Luke's gospel, Jesus rewards those who refuse to give up. Remember the man who got up to give some food to his neighbor who received guests late one evening? The neighbor didn't wait until morning and timidly make his request. He pounded on the door at midnight. Jesus' point is that while our neighbors may complain and be cross with us, it is never inconvenient to call upon God. Moreover, if we with all our problems know enough to provide good things for our children, how much more does God care for us? Our loving Father is the judge who never turns a deaf ear to us, the neighbor who never pretends he is asleep. In today's second reading, St. Paul charged Timothy to proclaim the word of God, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Part of this advice is to confound Timothy's enemies, who would prefer to tune him out whenever they were tempted to do what was evil. Another part is to demonstrate how constantly God is available to us. Think of it this way. If, heaven forbid, one of you here became seriously ill and had to go to the emergency room at Altru at 2 a.m. the next morning, you know that qualified personnel would be there. Isn't it a relief to know that God is never off duty? Once we accept the moral of the story of today's readings, we find the Holy Spirit asking some tough questions. What does my prayer life consist of right now? When does prayer occur in my life, outside of the context of Mass? If someone were to charge me for being a prayerful Christian, what evidence would there be to convict me? Do I worship the Father at Mass every single Lord's Day and do so out of love? Or am I a fair-weather fan? Am I here only when or because someone nags me, or when I decide it's convenient? Does that attitude give God his due? No matter what state our prayer lives are in, today God offers us the grace to build them up. Perhaps it's the case that one has not set aside even a minute's worth of time in prayer during the average day. What is one to do? Well, for starters, I recommend something I call bookends. Take a couple of minutes at the very beginning and the very end of each day. Give thanks for the gift of each day as it begins, and for the blessings in life as the day ends. One may insert all sorts of prayers at these times. I especially recommend a good act of contrition at nighttime. Also, add prayers before and after every meal, giving thanks for bodily nourishment, even when you're in public and others may see you. Where today's first reading fits in is the example of Moses' persistence while extending his staff toward the battle with the Amalekites. The fact that Aaron and Hur came along to hold up Moses' arms reminds us of how we are to be gifts to each other. Let's not think only of our own efforts in prayer. Let's appreciate how others help us out and how they rely on us helping them. We may not see empirical evidence of that bond, like Moses did that day in a military victory, but faith assures us it is real and substantial. Most people who work to develop a richer private prayer life find two things indispensable. First of all, they need to give up some part of their daily routine. No one is adding hours to the day anytime soon. Examine what activity makes up the most wasteful or non-essential part of your day. Now, what if you were to give that up and use that time for prayer? But Father, you may protest, I really don't have 15 or 30 minutes to spare. Are you sure of that? Do you think the rich young man who came up to Jesus in that story in the Gospels would wanted to have given that very same excuse? The second thing that they do is to place themselves in the presence of Christ, particularly in the Blessed Sacrament. I know that in my youth growing up on the farm, I didn't get that chance very often. How hard would it be, though, when you know you will be in the neighborhood, to take even a few short minutes and allow the Lord Jesus to speak to you in the quiet of the parish church, either here or at the other parishes around town? The church street-level doors are open every weekday from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturdays during most of the day, not only during the times we have Mass. But Father, what if I have my small children or grandkids along? Bring them in too. If they don't learn this practice from you, they may not learn it at all. God is waiting to speak to us and flood our hearts, no matter when it is or where we are. But what an extravagant gift to have our God, our Savior, dwelling among us in the Eucharist. God will never tire of us. And yet, how unfortunate it is that we so frequently speak with God as though He has had enough of us and wants to be rid of us. How easily we get it backwards, imposing limits on our time and our love as if we were bothering Him. St. John Vianney from France, the patron saint of parish priests, once said, "Our hearts are small, but prayer stretches them and makes them capable of loving God. Through prayer, we receive a foretaste of heaven, and something of paradise comes down upon us. Prayer never leaves us without sweetness. When we pray properly, sorrows disappear like snow before the sun." As long as we are persistent and receive God's will, regardless of whether it matches our expectations, the Lord Jesus will indeed find faith on earth. Amen.